I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The scale of the disaster in Burma continues to grow. Up to now, the country's military rulers have said that more than 20,000 people died after a cyclone hit Burma over the weekend. The government also said 40,000 Burmese remain missing. Well, today, the top U.S. diplomat in Burma told reporters that as many as 100,000 people may have died as a result of the storm. Shari Villarosa said conditions for survivors in the hardest-hit area, the Irrawaddy Delta, were, quote, more and more horrendous. The BBC's Paul Danahar is in the Delta now. We spoke with him earlier, and he described what he's been able to see.
We travelled today to the Irrawaddy Delta, and we saw countless towns and villages that had been seriously damaged by the cyclone that hit over the weekend. We went to a village called Pia Pon. There were 700 homes there, completely devastated. People were scavenging for what nature had left behind, and that wasn't very much. They'd heard that help was coming from abroad. They'd seen nothing so far. They wanted to know when they were going to get some kind of help. And that was in an area that is accessible. There's much more of the Irrawaddy Delta that is hidden behind broken bridges and blocked roads. And somewhere over there, there's 40,000 people missing, tens of thousands dead. We can't get to that because the roads are broken, the bridges are down, the boats have all been destroyed. And frankly, neither can the government because they just don't have the resources to do it.
All right, so the government can't get out to the countryside. What about in more urban areas? How much is the government able to do now and how much is it doing? Because what we understood is that up until now, the government was pretty much silent and out of the picture.
Well, in the capital, Rangoon, they've got the water and electricity back in some areas. Most of the capital is in darkness. People are having to queue for water. They're having to queue for fuel. They've seen food prices, candles, anything that people need in this sort of circumstances. The price of those have gone through the roof. There's a lot of frustration here. There's a lot of anger. One man said to me when we had demonstrations last year that soldiers were everywhere. Where are they now? But to be honest with you, in the capital, things are difficult, but they're not catastrophic. What's really going on in the flooded areas is can only be kind of guessed at the moment because nobody knows. And until the aid community is allowed into this country, until they can bring their specialist equipment and specialist knowledge, we're not going to know. And as this progresses, it's going to become more and more fearful that disease will take over because if you think you've got tens of thousands of people living amongst tens of thousands of bodies, their water supply is going to be contaminated. They've got nothing else to drink, and disease will take hold.
All right. Is there anything else that you can tell us about that you're seeing there? I know that you have covered a tremendous amount of natural calamities in the past. I wonder if you could tell us how this one and how the people are handling it and the response to it on the part of the government, how it all compares to others you've seen.
The similarities are that you begin with a catastrophe and the numbers lurch upwards, and as you get closer and closer to the people, you realize just how bad it's become. So this has followed the trend of the tsunami, of the Pakistan earthquake, of the Orissa cyclone. These are all things that I've covered in the past. But the difference is, this time around, I'm not finding myself stuck in traffic jams full of aid vehicles. The roads are not blocked with people bringing refugees one way and help in the other direction. And that's what makes this very different. There are not many helicopters flying in the skies. We have not seen boats leaving with loads of food. This is not a country on a war footing to tackle this disaster. And I think the generals perhaps are completely overwhelmed by it and really don't know what to do. They're used to being able to control this country, and they've had that control taken away from them by nature, and they don't know what to do.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.